Dr. Calwyn Jones is from Ngāti Kahungunu, Taitanga Mahaki, and is the Kai Ruruku, or the Honorary Adjunct Professor at Te Kauā Māori, the School of Māori Studies at Te Heringa Waka at Vic Uni in Wellington. He's also the Pukenga Matua Lead Academic in the Laws and Philosophy Program at Te Wānanga o Raukawa. Thank you for joining us on the program once again, Calwyn. Tēnā koe, hoki mai.
Tēnā koe.
Kia ora. Well, first up, let's have a look at the situation with banning clauses referencing the treaty to future legislation. The coalition government's moving to remove those references. What's the prevalence of Treaty of Waitangi clauses in New Zealand legislation, Calwyn?
Well, there are many pieces of legislation now which include some reference. Just a couple of years ago, a government paper said that there were over 50. I think there's actually probably many more pieces of legislation than that that include references to treaty principles now. So it's very common.
And not so going forward. Have you had time to consider where the coalition government is going by removing references to future legislation?
Well, I think that's no surprise given the coalition agreements that were set out between the members of the coalition government. We see that there's an attempt by one party to redefine treaty principles, but also the agreement between New Zealand First and National included this review of all pieces of legislation which have treaty principles clauses in it, with the intent of either removing or replacing them. So it's no surprise, really, that that's the direction that the coalition government is moving in.
If the government changes, and we're jumping ahead here somewhat, but if a new government comes in, can it add treaty clauses into past legislation?
Well, yes, that could be possible. We can see, we've seen even with this government, that it's possible to reverse even quite significant pieces of legislation for a parliament to do that. And so we could be in a situation of kind of moving back and forth between the way in which government chooses to recognise treaty principles. But underlying all of this, really, is a question about how to give best effect to Te Tiriti o Waitangi and how the government ought to be implementing its obligations in relation to Te Tiriti.
So that leaves us as a people with a challenge. We're a treaty partner, but it appears constantly dissatisfied with how our rights have been eroded or overlooked at the very same time that they're trying to take treaty references out of legislation. Is there some rearguard action for Ngāi Māori so that we can have our treaty rights protected?
Yes, well, I think a couple of things. First of all, that we should recognise that treaty principles are already a kind of compromise on what's in Te Tiriti. They're a mechanism that provides for some recognition of rights guaranteed under Te Tiriti, but always within that Crown framework. And so it's very difficult to give full effect to Tino Rangatiratanga within that framework. Nevertheless, treaty principles have been a really important mechanism within the current legal framework for the courts to ensure that Māori rights are recognised, for government agencies to understand what their obligations are in relation to that constrained framework. But I do think if we want to, what we really should be thinking about as well is how to kind of talk about, have a constitutional discussion that's grounded in Te Tiriti itself, not in simply the legislative construction of treaty principles. I think both are relevant to how Māori rights are protected, and one is perhaps more, the treaty principles discussion is perhaps a more immediate one, but we shouldn't take our eyes off the longer term vision of thinking about constitutional transformation.
The political rhetoric, Calwyn, is that politicians determine how the treaty is interpreted in our legal system, not the legal system. What do you make of that?
Well, MPs, of course, as parliaments, are the ones who do pass law and determine what those laws are, and within our system it then passes to the courts to apply those laws and interpret those laws, apply them to particular cases that come before them. So what we've seen over the past 30, 40, nearly 50 years in the case of the Waitangi Tribunal is the Tribunal and the court engaging with the framework that Parliament has established and working in a very orthodox way. There's been nothing radical about the way in which the courts have gone about applying the principles of the treaty. Those are set out in legislation. Parliament has included them in legislation. And as I say, it's a mechanism that, that Parliament and previous governments have preferred for thinking about how to engage with Māori rights under Te Tiriti.
Does the change open the door for challenges against legislation already passed that has factored in the treaty? It may dissatisfy politicians, but nevertheless, it's they're already enacted. What would happen to legislation that fits into that category?
Well, I think certainly, you know, that does raise the question of if you are taking away these rights which are protected in legislation, Parliament has the right to do that. Parliament can enact whatever legislation it pleases, essentially. But it does then raise the question of what is the impact on Māori rights? One of the things that treaty principles often paid for government to do is to make sure that it's aware of the rights that are being impacted and how it can work to recognise them. It's essentially a kind of principle of good government to make sure you understand what are the rights that are being impacted when you make these kinds of decisions or pass these kinds of laws. So, you know, there may be certainly claims to the Waitangi Tribunal that may be possible because that's a slightly different jurisdiction to the courts. But there would also be questions, I think, that would arise as to what extent the courts would be willing to read in treaty obligations to interpret legislation by saying, well, we know the Crown has treaty obligations, so we will assume that Parliament has constructed this legislation with the intent of giving effect to those principles where there's the ability to do that, you know, where it's not expressly ruled out by Parliament. So that might also be a possibility in a way of developing that area of law.
It appears to be continuing political gamesmanship too. The situation is hardly the one that will define the rate of inflation or mortgage rate movements and the economic struggles that many are under. But yet, again, we feel as though our issues, Māori, are political footballs and able to be taken advantage of. It doesn't seem to loom as the major priority, but certainly it's front and centre in the early activities of this new coalition government.
Yes, and I think, again, as I mentioned before, that the idea of treaty principles and legislation is effectively a mechanism to support good government, to support good decision-making, to think about and to ensure that government officials have understood the implications of the legislation. And so you would think that those would be things that actually help with an agenda that was trying to get good outcomes for people, to get good results for Māori, and as well as addressing those broader issues that you've talked about. But it certainly is concerning that it seems to be simply for political reasons why Māori rights and Te Tiriti are under attack.